Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Public schools in North Carolina have long suffered from an acute shortage of nurses, psychologists, and social workers. Even prior to the coronavirus, funding for these critical positions was hugely inadequate and student-to-professional ratios were well below national minimum standards. Now, as schools begin to plan for reopening their doors later this summer to hundreds of thousands of children and families traumatized by the pandemic, the need for these services figures to hit new highs. Recently, in an effort to learn more about the state's plans and the scope of the need in this vital area, I got a chance to chat with one of the state officials who oversees them, Pacovia Lovett, with the State Department of Public Instruction. Well, Pacovia Lovett, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
So obviously, these are extraordinary times to be in the business of being concerned about the well-being of children in our public schools like you are. Talk to us about what is your overall take on where things stand right now? What are some of your biggest concerns as, you know, children have been out of school now for a few months? It's still not unclear exactly how we're going to get them back integrated into school, especially for kids who are at risk. What are some of your biggest concerns?
So this is a stressful time for everybody, for, you know, students in particular, for parents, for teachers, for everybody. This is just territory that we've just not had to face before. So it's very unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and everyone's trying to navigate, you know, through it. But it really is challenging for our students right now and children, even non-school age children, because before there was some very set routines and things that happened and guarantees of certain things such as food and access and safe spaces and individuals of safety. So it's almost like, you know, overnight, literally over a weekend, that all went away. What we're left with are just a lot of uncertainties and are sure to be some big issues around the safety of our children, the basic needs of our children, the stability of our children. And probably what's been most said so far through this is the mental and emotional stability and health of our children. So those things are what we're really looking at and trying to figure out ways to navigate and combat the negative here.
I read an article recently, actually we ran it on NC Policy Watch, by a North Carolina teacher who said that, you know, maybe this will provide an impetus for us to start thinking a little bit differently about how we approach our students. We've been so focused on testing, how kids do on math, how they do on reading, and maybe this will lead us to start bringing the kind of whole child approach to educating children and recognizing that we're going to have to meet kids in lots of different places. Kids are going to be dealing with trauma, homelessness. They're coming from unstable situations. Is it possible maybe this will cause us to start approaching how we educate our children a little bit differently?
So that is our hope too. You know, as social workers, we're kind of grounded in that whole child and environmental effects and how do we meet all the needs and what are all the barriers and where do we make the connections. So this has been the foundation of our work since the beginning of time. So we're very excited about that aspect of where the rest of the world is going to catch up to us, in that this is important work. We have got to make the connections for the whole child and providing levels of stability that before we hadn't thought about. And I absolutely think that this will draw a lot of attention to that work, and how we engage with children here on out will look very different. And it's going to have to. It's forced us to look at it very differently. And for that, there is a great excitement in my profession for what that's going to ultimately provide for our students who so desperately need those connections to be made.
And of course, it's worth noting that long before this pandemic, we had a huge share of our children in North Carolina and really across the country dealing with issues like homelessness, abuse in the home, literal hunger. All these sort of fundamental survival issues are affecting a huge swath of our kids. And I guess it sort of falls to folks in professions like yours to deal with this, but the resources at your disposal have been pretty limited. There's only so much you're really, with the staffing you have, with the resources at your disposal, that you're able to do with these tremendous needs.
That is correct. we've had a challenging time in this state, and I'm sure others, with just the level of staffing, which you mentioned. And, you know, a lot of social workers are serving anywhere from 2 to 6 schools, some more. And it's really just impossible to meet all the needs when you're staffed at that level. And for a good number of years now, there's been advocates that we try to increase those ratios so that we can really maximize kind of what we do and how we do it. So with that said, we are where we are, and we hope that legislators will come around to allot some space there for us. But we do what we do, and social workers are the best at finding resources and connecting resources and working with what we have and making things happen for kids and for families. And, you know, we work with everybody. We work with students. We work with their parents, their grandparents who may be raising them, their incarcerated right. parents. We work with staff who may have issues and trouble. So we definitely are kind of the one-stop shop in schools to go to a lot resources and be a connection, and that's why school social work kind of nationally are called the vital links. So we are very limited in what we have, particularly in rural areas that don't have as many outsourced mental health providers or shelters or facilities for youth. So when we get to those areas and things, and as we've seen, the rural areas have suffered in a multitude of ways during this pandemic, but we are doing everything that we can, and I'm working every day to connect more resources, and we've had some very generous community connections that have stepped up big time during this pandemic, so we're very grateful for that.
That's good to know. I'm just assuming that as kids at some point in some fashion come back into the school system this fall, we hope in some physical way, that there's going to be a lot of just grief that people are dealing with, just feelings of loss. Some people will have actually lost family members or grandparents. You're going to have such a massive issue. Are social workers going to be dealing with that one-on-one? Do you think there'll be trauma, as you allude to, for staff? Is the idea perhaps to develop plans for sort of a holistic approach to grief and loss for entire schools? I mean, is that too grand an idea?
Yes. So one of the priorities on my team, which is the Healthy Schools team at NCDPI, and it's all of the support staff and school counselors, social workers, psychologists, and school nurses. We've kind of been around the loop with how this might look and what interventions and screenings and things that can happen. And one of the priorities on my list has been the grief and loss, and how do we protect those that need to be protected and provide a level of support for those who need it, and that's students and staff, because we realize that this has been a widespread pandemic with loss and that it will impact on multiple levels in multiple ways. So we have got some good plans in place and read some screeners that will be able to help better assess where our students are and what has happened since they left and how we best support them. The same with staff and staff wellness. That's also a priority of mine, is how do we develop almost a tiered approach to staff wellness where everyone receives some level of support, and then we tier up from there according to what has happened during this pandemic and what types of trauma and crisis that our staff need, because we know that we need well staff to be able to educate well children and for everybody to be at their best. There are some things that will be in place whenever we get a solid decision about what school days will actually look like.
We're coming to the end of our time with Pacovia Lovett of the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, and talking about the demands on social workers and other professionals as we contemplate the start of a new school year. I guess the final question I'd have, I wonder if, you know, we have listeners out there who might be parents sheltering at home who've been, you know, in effect homeschooling their kids for the last few months and probably will be doing so for a while. Are there any sort of overarching recommendations you might provide to them? Are there any resources that they can tap into online, or just general suggestions you might have for parents as they cope with these difficult times and perhaps begin to contemplate a new school year?
For sure. I'd first like to say to all the parents out there that certainly you have been put in a situation that no one saw coming. And my number one thing that I'm saying when I hear these struggles is that, you know, take it easy on yourself. This is kind of the best time for self-care right now, because everyone is so stressed and dealing with issues, and maybe there were mental health issues that came before this, and now they are accelerated from this pandemic. And so my number one rule is to take it easy on yourself. It is okay. We will make it. Everything will be okay. Don't go too hard on yourself. Don't try to do all the things, but if you can be successful in one part, then do that part, and we'll get help for the rest. So that's my number one thing. And then there is a multitude of resources for parents, teachers, really anyone, on the North Carolina DPI webpage and under COVID resources. And it links to a multitude of different areas where you might see that you need a little extra help. So definitely check that out and just go with the flow here. We're all doing the best we can, and there's no right or wrong way to get through a pandemic.
Thank you for that very sage advice. We really appreciate it. Thank you for all the work you're doing for the children of our state and the teachers and the whole education community. Please take care of yourself. And I hope the next time we talk, it's to discuss how we've had a successful restart of schools.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, an NC State economist shares his thoughts on some of the trends that have emerged during the pandemic. Stay with us.